You're having bag envy, aren't you, Andrew?
I certainly am. That's a most impressive thing.
Very impressive.
I'll just throw in very quickly, my congratulations to Wally Lewis. Fantastic reporting on that story. It's been outstanding and great to be able to dig into somebody's past and find out they're not quite what you thought they were.
All right. Where are you starting today, good sir?
I thought we needed to have a look again at the merger of TVNZ and RNZ, Aotearoa New Zealand Public Media, simply because it's the most significant media issue in New Zealand today. And time is ticking very quickly because this new organisation is meant to be up and running March next year. So there's still a lot of work to be done on the legislation. So I thought we'd have a look again, as we did a couple of weeks ago, at some of the public submissions about the bill. More than 800 have come in, and not surprisingly, a lot within the media sector have had something to say. So there's four, roughly, issues that I wanted to touch on. First is independence. We know TVNZ are worried that it's not a Crown entity, a little bit of bureaucratic, if you like, concern around the nature of it and whether it would be independent enough. Radio New Zealand have also come in, though, and they're asking for a new clause in the bill that stipulates that the independence of the new entity on editorial matters is of paramount importance, and that's really what the board should be most concerned with. So interesting that both of them are saying, come on, you need to spell out very clearly that this new organisation will be independent from politicians, no matter who's in power. Not surprisingly, if you're going to do that one. So that's kind of the first piece. The really chunky one is the money. The great journalistic dictum, courtesy of Watergate, follow the money, was always going to be one of the critical issues. And fundamentally, what this boils down to is the government had an opportunity or a risk, if you like, to convince the public that this new entity should be fully financed by public money, as it is, for example, the BBC in the UK, CBC in Canada, the ABC in Australia. But that means you're asking the public to put up a lot of their cash into it. So they've gone for a mixed funding model, which is that, yes, of course, there's a significant chunk of government money in there, but TVNZ can continue to chase advertising and bring that in to supplement the cost of this new organisation. And that, of course, has triggered a lot of consternation, as you would expect, from the private media ecosystem. We've got the News Publishers Association saying it will significantly undermine the viability. NZME talking about distortionary impacts on the media ecosystem. We've got Sky saying that it'll be a not-for-profit but commercial mega entity, and stuff, of course, saying that all this will grossly distort the market. So we're not surprised that the private side of it are pretty concerned around the opportunities here. I will let you come in and see what I did like, though, balancing that. There's a nice comment piece by the chair of Better Public Media, Miles Thomas, who says, oh, look, this is a bit exaggerated, isn't it? I mean, TVNZ's always been competing with you. If anything, the government's pulling back on that and saying, here's a big chunk of public money, therefore you don't need to be as aggressive in competing with private media for that money. So he feels it's a little bit overcooked. I quite liked, I must say, Warner Brothers, who own TV3 News Hub now. They're calling for stronger definitions of that public media aim against the commercial goal. So I think really there's the challenge for the government. You've got to be a little bit clearer on what does mixed funding look like.
Well, the cliche is, isn't it? The other cliche, devil in the detail. Now, for these businesses, you can understand it. To what extent is this going to be a commercial entity that has a large dollop of capital, courtesy of the government, but is targeting parts of their business? Now, online, I know, is a huge issue that they have, one huge issue that they have. Now, if you're not wanting to stifle the survival and a remarkable recovery of the likes of Stuff and others, at one point we thought we'd lose 3 News et al. As well, right? Discovery came in. If you're not wanting to smother that, where are you putting in the detailed protections that allows the entire ecosystem to thrive and not have one crowd everyone else out? Is there enough detail?
Yeah, and I think that's arguably what's coming through from these submissions is we kind of get why you've gone there without wanting to buy into the public argument, but you need to provide those guardrails. What are those parameters to it? Because, again, Warner Brothers are basically saying, look, this new organisation, it's got the government's balance sheet there to pull upon whenever it needs it, if it can't bring in enough commercial money. So, therefore, it's got an ability that none of us in the private space
have got. But also, Andrew, it's got a deeply... commercial culture, TVNZ, that arm of it. And I've seen others writing about one of the challenges being the age-old argument about the merger of two very different cultures.
Yeah.
But in the instincts of many of those one would expect to populate this new entity from the Television New Zealand side of things, it's absolutely in their DNA. And so, you know, what do you do to mitigate?
Well, it is in their DNA. And I'll skip to point four because we've got a new broadcasting minister in Willie Jackson who's been quite tough on TVNZ at the moment. He's basically saying they need to change their culture, they need to change their attitude. We've had a number of conversations. We don't think they're quite getting it. And some speculation that, in fact, where the expectation was that TVNZ would be the big brother of the merged organisation, will that, in fact, be the case where you've got Radio New Zealand, and again Jackson saying this, they kind of get where we're trying to go to. So will that public media, that public service attitude, that ethos become more powerful? I think ultimately though, the point comes, as you say, to the detail. What's in the legislation that gives people an assurance of what will drive this new organisation? What will the board look for? And if you give them an open-ended scale in terms of chasing advertising, then you're inviting them really to go and stomp over every other organisation in the country.
Well, you also have to determine what you want by means of financial return. Do you want to break even? Do you want better than break even? What do you do, to your point, if the change means they're not breaking even? Again, there's quite a few possibilities as to how things would break.
Yeah,
okay,
that's very true. Just on funding too, another significant announcement late last week is around New Zealand On Air. They've been around for 30-odd years, a good, honest broker in terms of any media organisation, including Radio New Zealand, TVNZ, could come to them and say, we'd like some funding to do this particular documentary or podcast or whatever it might be. They've had $180 million to disperse. That's a significant amount of money going into media and others within the country. It's now been announced that $85 million of that will go straight to the new merged public entity, leaving a pot of $61 million roughly for all other media to be able to dip into. That's still a significant amount because obviously Radio New Zealand and TVNZ are out of there, but that's a huge change and a lot of money going into this new organisation to play with.
Okay, just a couple of things to tick off. I'd like to say first, just noting the death of Gordon Dryden, who's made an enormous contribution to journalism and broadcasting in this country, amongst other things. He has died. He was a radio talkback host, but much more. And you are going to talk briefly about this interesting scrap. You've got 90 seconds to do it.
90 seconds, okay.
Interesting scrap over who gets to control the recorded broadcasts of the Queen's funeral. Retrospectively, the royal family can have some say?
I'm gobsmacked by this. I find it extraordinary. So basically, Buckingham Palace is saying to the BBC, ITV and Sky News, you've got until Monday of next week to come and show us 60 minutes compilation of clips. That's it. Absolute
no
60
pressure.
Minutes tops. No pressure of everything that happened since the Queen died. And we'll approve that. And then if you want any other footage in the future, you have to come to us and tell us what you would like, and we'll tell you whether you can have it or not.
But what if everyone's recordings? What if someone recorded the whole 12 hours or something?
Of course. Tens of millions of people have seen this stuff. There'll be so much of it on YouTube. This idea that they can control that from a group of people funded by the public, determining what the public can see through broadcasting, I find quite extraordinary. And not surprisingly, the British broadcasters are saying, you've got to be kidding.
Thank you, Andrew Holden.